Hi, the topic this week is electricity and magnetism. This means we're going to talk about electric and magnetic forces and fields. But before we do that, we're going to have to introduce the idea of electric charges and talk a little bit about what we know about charges. So to begin with, electric charge is really a fundamental quantity. Okay, in the meter, Kelvin, seconds system of units, we often think of the ampere as the fundamental unit, but that's just coulombs per second or current. And to be truthful, in a physically important way, charge is even more fundamental. The reason is because you have the smallest element of charge is what exists on, say, an electron or a proton, and in its units for the MKS system, it's 1.6 times 10 to the minus 19 coulombs. So that's sort of our fundamental unit of charge. Between these two charges, say between an electron and a proton, or between two electrons, or between two protons, one can have an electric force. What we're going to see in a little while is that since Newton's second law applies, F equals ma, these charges exert either an attractive or repulsive force on each other. So F equals ma has to equal whatever the electric field is. The electric force. So we're going to have to talk about how to write down the electric force. Okay? One of the things we're going to see is that it's mathematically, it's really of the same form as the gravitational force. That makes it a lot easier to understand. Now, we won't actually talk quantitatively about the magnetic force, but we will talk about how to generate magnetic fields. So we have two kinds of charges, positive or negative. Okay, electrons are negative, protons are positive. And if you look at the included table on electron, proton, and neutron, you find out that the electron and proton have equal and opposite charges. Okay. You can't break the charges up beyond that. Okay, those are the fundamental quantities in which they come. Now, you'll notice that the proton has about 2,000 times the mass of the electron. So, mass and charge don't exactly go with each other. Okay? It is true that you have that amount of charge on the electron, and so if you have five electrons, you'll have five times the mass of a single electron and five times the charge of a single electron. But charge is really fundamentally separate than mass. Now, if you look at the mass of the neutron, you find out it's a little bit more massive than the proton. That's because you could think of the neutron as being a proton and an electron that are actually combined. You can actually break a neutron up into the electron and proton if you want. We'll actually talk about that when we talk about nuclear physics. Now, the Coulomb was named after a French scientist. Keep in mind that the unit Coulomb is much larger than the charge on an electron. Remember, the charge on an electron is minus 1.6 times 10 to the minus 19 Coulombs. Very tiny compared to actually the value of a Coulomb. That brings us to electric force, or at least we're getting there. Okay? The electric force is considered attractive if two charges attract each other, and repulsive if they repel each other. So two like charges exert a repulsive force on each other. Two opposite charges, and really they don't have to be opposite, they just have to be opposite in sign. So a one Coulomb charge and a minus 10 Coulomb charge would repel each other. Okay? A 1 Coulomb charge and a 10 Coulomb charge would A 1 Coulomb charge and a 10 Coulomb charge, both being positive, would repel each other. On the other hand, a minus 1 Coulomb charge and a plus 10 Coulomb charge would attract each other. So we pretty much get the idea of positive and negative. Now, how do we generate positive and negative? Well, one way is to transfer charges by rubbing two objects together, or friction. So you could see this by taking a balloon, rubbing it on carpet, and you could get it to usually stick to a ceiling or a wall. If you take a rod, rubber, or glass, and you run it in something like fur or a cloth, you'll find that if you do that with two rubber rods, they will repel each other. If you do it with two glass rods, they will repel each other. But if you then compare the rubber and put it near the glass rod, the rubber rod with the glass rod, then they will attract each other. So there's a sign that, you know, early evidence that there are opposite charge signs there. Okay? You can also do charging by induction. Say you take the rubber rod and bring it next to some small pieces of paper. You can actually induce charge distributions in the paper so that you run the negative charges to one end of the paper. Well, you move them slightly in the paper. And the net result is the little pieces of paper will be attracted to the rubber rod by static charge forces. I like to do that as a demonstration when I teach the actual traditional classroom version of this course, because what I do is I charge up that rubber rod and then I bring it near a 2x4. So just take a wood 2x4. Nice if it had a chance to dry out a little bit, and put it on a watch glass, which lets it pivot real easy. And then when you bring that charged rod to next to the 2x4, the 2x4 will deflect and it'll actually be attracted to the rubber rod. You can probably do a search on YouTube and find that kind of demonstration. So now we've got a qualitative picture of charges. Let's maybe be a little bit more quantitative, because I know everybody wants to be quantitative. So what we find out is Coulomb's law, which is basically the force between two charges, is equal to a constant K times Q1 times Q2 over R squared. Now, the Qs just represent the charges, and they include the signs of the charge. So is it positive or negative? And the R, just like it was in our gravitational force, is simply the distance from center to center of the two charge distributions or charges. Now, the constant K, you know, this is a constant that you write down on your equation sheet. You don't generally try to commit it to memory, but it's 9 times 10 to the, I believe it's 9 Newton meter squared per Coulomb squared. But you always want to write it down, because you know, you can mess up the 9. You can forget a number. And I'm not really interested in making sure that you've memorized all the numbers. Now, if you compare Coulomb's law for force to the gravitational law for force, you find out that all we did is replace G in the as the gravitational constant with some constant K, and replace the two masses with the two charges. That's all we did. Otherwise, they have the same general form. Okay? Except now our gravitational force is always positive, and our electric force can be positive or negative because each of those Qs has a sign associated with it. Well, that can complicate things just a little bit, and now let's take a look. Okay? Specifically, if you had two positive charges in our equation, okay, you would get a positive force. So a positive force is associated with repulsion. Now, if you had one positive charge and one negative charge, you'd get a negative force. So negative is associated with attraction. That's a difference from how we did gravitation. Remember, in gravitation, it was positive, and we said, it's always attractive. Okay? That makes it a little bit awkward, but you're going to have to keep that in mind. We can also talk about current. Current is basically how much charge passes a given point in a given amount of time. So, for example, if you have 5 electrons passing some point in 1 second, you have 5 times minus 1.6 times 10 to the minus 19 coulombs divided by 1 second for the current. And we would call that coulomb per second is known as an ampere. So that's pretty straightforward. And we'll have some simple problems in a few minutes. Actually, I think what I'm going to do is save the example for the next audio link because we're running about 10 and a half minutes already. Okay. So we'll stop here and I'll start talking about conductors and insulators, and then we'll actually do an example for current. Thank you.